This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com,
who is joining us for day number 3 of the Hijjah 360 with Al Maghrib Institute. Alhamdulillah, today's topic is another amazing one. We're super excited to be joined by our senior scholar here at Al Maghrib, Sheikh Waleed Bassiouni. We're going to be covering today prayer, the foundations of your Islam. Inshallah ta'ala, Sheikh Waleed, as I was mentioning to our Zoom audience here, which, by the way, if you've not yet registered for the program, you can do so for free on Zoom by going to almaghrib.org/best days. And that way you get access to the Telegram community, to the Zoom community as well, and that you can engage with us here and engage with the instructors and the Sheikh here as well. Sheikh Waleed is our senior scholar. He's the one that we turn to for all of our questions. And it's such a simple or crucial foundational topic that we're covering today. So we're so excited to have him with us to do that, inshallah. And I see that the Sheikh is joining, alhamdulillah, as well. So we'll take a second and we'll welcome him as well. Marissa Abdul Hasib from New Jersey. Some really familiar names from Ramadan 360, Graciel. Ghazala, welcome, welcome. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Brother Salim, of course, always representing the brothers on camera. MashaAllah, may Allah make it heavy on your scale. Ameen. It's amazing to see you all, and it's amazing to see you all return time again and again for our live programming. It's really heartwarming, MashaAllah. May Allah reunite us in this world and the hereafter. Ameen. With that being said, I do want to thank again once again our partners at Forgotten Women, who have joined us for this Dhul Hijjah 360, who are doing such amazing work on the ground, helping women and children, widows and orphans, pull themselves out of poverty and create businesses that they can support themselves with for the rest of their lives, inshallah. Please do support them at launchgood.com/FW. The links are also in your bios or your descriptions on social media, and I'll drop that here in the chat for those who haven't had a chance to support already. Sheikh, I see that you're ready with us whenever you're on screen. Inshallah, we'll get started for today's session, alhamdulillah. And we're super excited to have you with us again. Inshallah, we'll have some time. If you have questions for the Sheikh on today's topic, please do save them for the end of the session. We'll make sure that we make some time to get them asked. But in the meantime, inshallah, we're looking forward to the Sheikh teaching us and engaging with us for today's session. And someone just messaged me, thanks for the free access. Alhamdulillah, that's one of the blessings of Dhul Hijjah 360, Ramadan 360, is that we get to give you a taste of Al Maghrib's virtual seminar experience, where you get a chance to be in a private audience and a private community and with an instructor, spending some time learning. And this is just a taste. We don't get to deep dive like we normally do in our classes, but I hope that all of you guys get a chance to join us in a future experience as well. And I see the Sheikh is here. So Bismillah and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Sheikh Waleed, how are you doing
today? Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm doing fantastic, alhamdulillah. So happy and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with you guys today.
Beautiful. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. It is so great to see you and to be joined by you. It's been a while since we've had a chance to have you for our live programming. And I know we're super excited to jump into your online class that just recently launched, Fiqh of Love, alhamdulillah, and to have your live Q&A sessions and to pepper you with questions and everything. But right now, today, we're at Dhul Hijjah 360. We're excited to cover the foundations of your Islam, the topic of the prayer, one of the essential pillars of our deen, and inshallah, to spend the next 30, 40 minutes, inshallah, with you doing that. So jazakallah khair for being with us, Sheikh. I will pass it off to you. Bismillah.
Thank you very much. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walahu ba'd. Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim rahimahumullah ta'ala reported that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu arda'ah said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said only 3 infants spoken in the early stage of their life. Only 3 infants. Isa ibn Maryam, and one of them was Juraij al-Abid. And Juraij al-Abid's a child during the time, or Sahibu Juraij, a child during Juraij al-Abid's time. Who's Juraij al-Abid? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us the story of Juraij, and maybe some of us familiar with, but just very quickly, because that what I have chosen to be the introduction for my talk today about the Salah. Juraij was a very righteous, avid worshiper. And one day, he basically had given and built for himself like a place of worship, like a temple or a masjid where he prays. And one day he was praying and his mother passed by him and she called him. She wants him. And he was praying and he said, Ya Rab, ummi aw salati. Ya Rab, should I cut off my salah or should I answer my and go to my mother or I continue my salah? So he continued his salah. And that happened several times. So his mother said, she was angry at him. And she said, Allahumma la tumithu hatta yanzura ila wujuhul mumisat. It's very interesting, like very weird dua. And that's something we learn. We don't make dua against your children. The mother said, Ya Rab, don't let my son die until he see with his own eyes the faces of the prostitutes. Nasallahu al-afiyah, or the woman who practice adultery. That's the punishment that he sees them, because he's isolating himself from the world, from the corruption of the world. So one of the punishment that the person will see those people who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, people pay money to have a membership to watch them, to listen to them. Anyway, that's another story. But she said that, and Bani Israel in his town, they were talking about Juraij and how devoted he is to the ibadah. He doesn't care about the dunya. He doesn't care about money. He doesn't care about desires. So a woman who's a prostitute was among the people in that gathering. And she said, you think so? Then they said, yeah, absolutely. He doesn't care about anyone, anything of that thing. She said, I will seduce him. They said, you can't. She said, I will show you. So she went and she tried to seduce him, but قَالَ فَلَمْ يَلْتَفِتْ إِلَيْهَا. He didn't even care for her. She was very frustrated and angry. She left him and she found right where he at, Rai, a farmer. And she allowed him to sleep with her. She got pregnant from the farmer. And when she brought the child, she said to this gathering, she said, look, I seduced him and I am of a child from him. They were so angry and said, this man is a hypocrite. And they went and they grabbed him out from his masjid or place of worship. And they start hitting him. And they burned his place of worship because they thought this man is a hypocrite. How he claimed that he's a worshiper while he was asleep with a prostitute and make her pregnant. Then he said, why are you beating me? Why are you doing all this? So they told him about this woman. And he said, no, I didn't. And he said, where is she? And where is the child that she claimed? Then they brought her and they brought the child. Just an infant. Then he said, let me pray. Let me go to prayer. Then we will talk. The first thing he did, he asked for, is to allow him to go to pray. Fasalla. And when he finished his salah, he looked at the child and he tapped on the child's stomach and he said, speaks, who's your father? So the child spoke and he pointed to the farm. He said, my father is this man, so-and-so. It was a miracle in front of everybody. He asked Allah in the salah to protect him, to show the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his prayer, answered his dua. Allah protected him because of his prayer, because of his salah, because of his commitment. He understood, Juraij, that as-salah is a protection. As-salah is where he should rush to when calamity strikes, when hardship, when he's going through a hardship. They were very sorry and they apologized to him. فَجَعَلُوا يُقَبِّلُونَهُ. They will kiss him and touch him. And they said, please forgive us. And they said, we will rebuild your masjid and we'll make a dome in it and we'll make it look so beautiful. We cannot even make it from gold. He said, no, just rebuild it the way it was from clay and simple as it used to be. And they did. Yes, my brothers and sisters. We heard the story, but part of the story is very important to our topic today, which is as-salat. It is something that will save you in the dunya and in the akhir. Save you in the dunya from the hardship, from the calamities. It's a protection for you from sadness, worries. Kan al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, arihna biha ya Bilal. Bring comfort to us, ya Bilal, by calling for the salat. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will feel the urge and the need for the salah because that's where he finds his qurrat ayn, the coolness of his eyes. In the summer days, where the Asr is so long between Asr and Maghrib, it's a very long time. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be in and out, in and out. Did the sun goes down or not yet? Did the sun goes down or not yet? Looking forward for Salat al-Maghrib. And when the Maghrib comes, he will immediately, Ya Bilal, arihna, bring comfort to us, Ya Bilal, through your adhan. It's not about the voice of Bilal. It's about what is Bilal calling them for. Look at the difference between this and some of us when their, you know, alarm goes off and said, As-Salah, or the adhan goes off in your app. Oh, I have to pray right now. Oh, I have to wake up. I have to cut whatever I'm doing. Innabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana idha faza'ahu amr wa hazabahu amr, something worries him the most. Or something worries him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will rush to the salah. Fazi'a ila salat. Because he knows that this is what, where he's protected. It is a salah save you from all kind of bad and evilness and harm. What Allah said to the children of Israel who were facing the prosecution of Fir'aun and his soldiers. وَجَعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Pray at your home. Establish the salah at your home. You didn't need to go to the temple. They were scared. And give the glad tiding to the believers. Glad tiding of being saved, glad tiding of being victorious, glad tiding of the reward in the akhir. She had this son that she has so much hope that he will be a great scholar in the future. But in early age, he lost his eyesight. The mother was terrified about the future of this blind boy, how he will be. She said, I used to pray in the night, long prayer. And every and go to pray just to ask Allah in my prayer to bring his sight back and to make him among the righteous. And indeed, he was. That was Imam al-Bukhari and his mother. And Imam Ahmad, when he was put in his handcuffs and his feet were in chains and dragged from his home to meet one of the most brutal, evil Khalifa in our history, Al-Ma'mun. He stopped and walked to the side of the car of the road and he prayed two rak'ah. He was asked, what did you pray for in your salah? He said, I ask Allah that he would never let me meet Al-Ma'mun face to face. Because he's such a brutal, evil leader. Not long after that, in the road trip, the news came from the Khalifa's house that he died. Protection. Shah Abdul Muhsin Ahmad said the story of a man that he met who used to practice magics. And that magician told him that there is a young man. I was so angry at him, so frustrated at him. And I made a promise that I will use all my power, all the jinn that I'm connected to harm him. He said, Ya Sheikh, for 6 months, I'm sending jinn after another, making, trying to do magic against him, trying to do everything that I can do. I offer so much to the jinn to just harm this young man. And every time, me and my jinn were defeated. So Shah Abdul Muhsin Ahmad said to him, why? He said, because this man always pray on time. And the jinn keeps saying, we cannot touch him. And I heard that directly from Shah Abdul Muhsin Ahmad, who heard it directly from the person or from that magician. It is a protection in the akhirah. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, give the glad tiding to the believer. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the mu'mineen. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اركعوا واسجدوا واعبدوا ربكم وافعلوا الخير لعلكم تفلحون. Oh, who you believe, اركعوا واسجدوا. This is a salah. Make ruku' and make sujood. And he mentioned the ruku' and sujood to show you the importance of the salah. He could have said, just pray, but he didn't. He made the sujood and ruku' to make sure that you put so much emphasis and care for each part of the salah, each one of the salah's pillars. وَعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, worship Allah, and do good, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And لَعَلَّ, when it comes from the Quran, it means you will, absolutely. Not, it doesn't mean you might or maybe, no, no. كُلْ لَعَلَّ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ تَعْنِي وَعَسَى تَعْنِي التَّأْكِيدِ. When Allah says you might or you might be, it means you will, for sure. You will achieve success in Surah Al-Hajj. As-Salat is the main pillar in Islam. Amud al-Din. As-Salat, it is the thing that, the act of worship that you will see consistency in the Quran. As-Salat was mentioned more than 100 times in the Quran. Ordering us to establish Salah was repeated more than 20 times. 9 times, aqimu salat, and prayer. You all should pray. Establish the prayer. As-salat, it is that act of worship that Allah ordered prophets and messengers and nations before us to do. إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. موسى عليه السلام. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى وَأَخِيهِ أَنْ تَبَوَّأَ لِقَوْمِكُمَا بِمِصْرَ بُيُوتًا وَجَعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ. We said this earlier. In Surah Yunus. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ. In Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah said about the prophets and messenger, we revealed to them to do good and to establish the salah. Isa said, just imagine this. Isa is still an infant. Yet he's an infant. What Allah ordered him to be and to do.
وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا.
Allah order me, reveal to me, ask me to care for the salah and for the zakat as long as I'm alive. He said that when he was an infant. Ismail.
وكان يأمر أهله بالصلاة والزكاة وكان عند ربه مرضيا.
Allah was pleased with Ismail. One of the reasons, because he used to order his family to establish salah and to give zakat, to give charity. I can go on and on about the prophets and messengers. Even not prophet, even righteous people, like Maryam alayhi salam, like Luqman, when he said to his son, يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. My son, establish the salah. As for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah want to make a salah an obligatory upon him and upon his ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way it is right now, because it was before al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, we used to pray. Qiyam al-Layl was wajib. The salah was two rak'ah. But the 5 daily prayers was established when Allah have elevated Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the highest place that a human being ever reached, the closest things ever to Allah. فَأُمِرْتُ بِخَمْسِ صَلَوَاتٍ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ في البخاري. At that point, Allah ordered me to stop to pray 5 times a day. And in Muslim, Allah revealed to me at that point when I was in Sidrat al-Muntaha, when I'm on the top of the heavens, 50 prayers every day. 50. If we imagine one after another, 50 prayer, That means every 29 minutes there is a prayer. My dear brothers and sisters, think of that. But Allah, out of his mercy, and you know the story of Musa alayhi salam telling him, reduce it, reduce it. But look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. Allah made that, he said 50 prayer will remain in reward, but you only established 5. For each one, it will be multiplied 10 times. Allahu Akbar. Yani your dhuhr prayer that you just prayed, your asr prayer that you might be prayed, your fajr prayer equal to 50 fajr, equal to 10 fajr, equal to 10 dhuhr. Your 5 daily prayer yesterday equal to 50 prayers. I ask myself sometimes, I'm wondering if you ever ask yourself the same thing. Is really my dhuhr prayer that I just prayed worth 10 salah? Or it worth 1/10 of salah? That's a hard question. Is it really worth 10 salah? That was supposed to be replacing 10. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ وَأَقِيمُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ اتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ. Recite the Quran and establish the salah. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help in salah and in sabr. قُلْ لِعِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Tell my servant who are believer to establish the salah. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. Oh Allah, make me among those who establish salah and from my children. And that's a beautiful dua to pray for you and your children. Allah says about the people who have followed their desires, the people who belong to the hellfire. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ. A generation came later, they missed their prayers. They neglected their prayers. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّ. They will go to hellfire. When Allah told us about the people of hellfire, when they ask each other, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What have brought you to hellfire? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. The first thing, we didn't used to pray.
وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ.
Wait is a place in hellfire. A great deal of punishment for those who pray, but they forget about the prayer. They delay the prayer until the time is out. Dhuhr comes, Asr comes, Maghrib comes. They don't even notice that this is a salah time. The mu'min, there is an alarm clock inside his heart. What happened? I didn't pray. It's been a long time. There's something inside you, burning you in out, that there is something missing. Hypocrites.
وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى.
Are lazy about the prayer. They're lazy about the prayer. النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم told us الصلاة, the main pillars of Islam. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said 5. You come with, you fulfill them with iman, you go to Jannah. What are they? من حافظ على الصلوات الخمس, whoever performed and established perfectly the 5 daily prayers with wudu, with ruku' and sujood on time, fast the month of Ramadan, Hajj al-Bayt, 3rd one. Basically, they perform Hajj. He gives zakat while he's happy to donate and to give. وَأَدَّ الْأَمَانَةَ. Fulfill the trust. You see, Rasulullah, what's the trust here means? He said, al-janaba, that you take a shower whenever you have a wet dream or you have an intercourse. and the hadith in At-Tabarani. Ubadah ibn Samit said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 5 daily prayers that Allah have prescribed upon you. إِذَا لَمْ تُضَيِّعْ مِنْهُنَّ شَيْئًا, you didn't miss any one of them. إِسْتِخْفَافًا بِحَقِّهِنْ, you didn't miss them because you didn't care. You might miss because you got distracted, forgot. But what is istighfaf? يعني you didn't care. If the salah is out, you're just busy with other things. Oh, later on. Huh? كَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَهُ عَهْدٍ, Allah made a promise for that person. أَنْ يُدْخِلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ, that will let that person enter Jannah. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَأْتِ بِهِنْ, those who did not fulfill that. There is no promise from Allah that they will enter Jannah. إِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ إِنْ شَاءَ أَدْخَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ, might punish him, might let him go to hellfire, or might let him go to paradise. Reported by Imam Malik, rahimahullah. 2 people died during the Prophet ﷺ. One, a year earlier than the second one, his brother. Or his friend. The Sahaba always talk about the one who died first. Then maybe some said once, what about the one who died later? This قالوا لا بأس به, he is not a bad person, but his brother was really nice. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, wasn't he a believer? They said, yeah. قال وما يدريكم ما بلغت صلاته به, you don't know what that 1 year of prayer have done to this man. Yes, the first man was very good, but the other man lived 1 year later on. Do you know what his salah have done to him? The salah is like a river in front of your house. Every day you go wash yourself in that river. What do you think? You will clean and can be always cleanse and pure? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, that's what the salah will do to him during that year. You don't know what this man's salah have done to him. You don't know what this year of salah have done to this man. And Nabi Sam kept repeating it to them. Reported by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and Malik. For Tirmidhi, the famous hadith that we all know, that the first thing that you will be asked about in the Day of Judgment is your salat. If it's good, Allah will look at the rest of your record. If it's bad, the rest of your record will not be seen. Your donations, your ata, your good being good husband, good wife, good parents, whatever. MashaAllah, volunteers, politically active, all this doesn't matter. Will be looked at later on. If the salah, you don't check, you don't pass the salah, Allah will say, look, does this person have a volunteer prayer to patch, to make up for the salah that it is not fulfilled? They said, no. Allah said, take him to be punished. Then he will be brought back to be looked at the rest of his good deeds. We talk about something so serious. Something so great in virtue. When he was asked, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by Ibn Mas'ud, what's the best deed? He said, As-Salah. And Ibn Umar asked the same question, he said, As-Salah. Then he said, then what? He said, As-Salah. Then what? He said, As-Salah. Then what? He said, As-Salah. Then what is al-jihad fi sabilillah? Al-jihad that everybody knows how, the ultimate sacrifice. As-salah 3 times in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam preferred it over it. Istaqimu. Wama ajmala an tastaqimu, yaqul al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Stood fast, and it's so beautiful to be in the straight path. He said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Walam tuhsu, you're not going to be perfect. وَعْلَمُوا, but you should always remember, أَنَّ خَيْرَ أَعْمَالِكُمُ الصَّلَاةِ, the best thing that you can ever do, الصَّلَاةِ. If you ever have a couple of minutes extra, a couple of minutes that you can spare, pray. If you can go early to the masjid to pray, go pray. If you can finish early so you can pray your sunnah al-dhuhr before dhuhr, pray sunnah al-dhuhr. In the night, if you can pray extra 2 rak'ah before you go to sleep, pray. وَلَنْ يُحَافِظَ عَلَى الْوُضُوءِ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٍ. Then he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and no one will keep his wudu all the time except a believer. Reported by Al-Hakim. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Sahih Muslim, قال الصلاة نور. As-salah is light. Bring light to your life. It brings light to your life. As-salah bring lights to your heart, bring lights to your thoughts, bring lights to your soul. It brings light to your grave. It will bring light to you in the day of judgment. It will lead you to the house of light, which is Al-Jannah. Al-Hasan Basri was asked, why those people who make Qiyam al-Layl, their faces full of light and shining? He said, in the dark night, they were alone with Allah, so Allah gave them from His light. What you see in their faces is the reflection of the lights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He had blessed them with. في الطبراني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال the best subject is salah, so increase as much as you can. Increase as much as you can. في مسلم أحمد ربيعة بن كعب رضي الله عنه قال I used to serve the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, take care of his affairs all my day. يعني all day long I dedicated my life just to serve the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم until he pray Isha. And when he pray Isha and he go to sleep, sometimes I'll stay at his door, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just in case in the night he needs something, so I can go get it, water or something like that. And you know, in the old days, they don't have waters inside the house. You know, you have to go get water from the well and bring it. Maybe he run out of water. Maybe he needs some food, whatever. And sometimes I will hear the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inside, saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah, making dhikr, until I fall asleep. Then one day the Prophet ﷺ saw me like this, sleeping outside. And he said, Ya Rabia, you're serving me very well. Ask me whatever you want, I will give you. I'll do it for you. Rabia said, let me think about it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam surprised this young man. He's not very educated. He said, just let me think about it and I'll let you know. Then he said, I went and I started thinking about what should I ask the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I realized that whatever I ask from this dunya, I will enjoy it for a little bit, then it will vanish. If it's food, I will eat it. If it's clothes, I will wear it. Then that. If it's land, I will enjoy it. Money, I will spend it. That, after that. It's going to be for temporary. And you know what? Whatever Allah have decided for me, I will get. So I don't need to ask from anything from this dunya. But I will ask the Prophet ﷺ something related to my akhirah. Then next day the Prophet ﷺ told him, Ya Rabi'a, what did you come up with? Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, I ask you to ask Allah for me that I will be saved from hellfire. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was surprised. Such a smart, beautiful request. He expected something, you know, something maybe materialist or something like that. He said, Ya Rabi'a, who told you to ask that? They said, no one, Allah, Ya Rasulullah. I just thought about this dunya and everything in this dunya is a temporary. And I know that whatever Allah decided for me will come. So let me ask about something related to my akhirah. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked down and he paused for a while. Then he said, I will pray for you to be free from hellfire and not to be touched from hellfire. But help me and help yourself to achieve such thing, not just by my dua. By what? قَالَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ, that you pray a lot. And another narration, he said, I will be free from hellfire and I will be with you in Jannah. Thawban, he said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ said, increase your sujood. Every time you make sajda for Allah, Allah will raise you one level and will take away one of your sin, reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah. And the previous narration of Rabi'ah bin Ka'b, the one who asked the Prophet ﷺ, the one who used to serve the Prophet ﷺ, that narration is in Muslim Ahmad rahimahullah. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his relationship with the Salah was amazing amazing relationship. When the salah comes, he used to leave his family, his friend, and goes to the salah as if he doesn't know them or they don't know him. خرج كأنه لا يعرفنا ولا نعرفه. صلى الله عليه وسلم. When he said, the coolness of my eyes, the peace of my heart and my soul, the rest of my heart, the peace and tranquility and the love of my heart is in the salah. These were not empty words. This is something you see it so clearly in the Prophet's life. And I think today, I want to inspire every one of us, hopefully, that these stories, these ahadith, these verses, these incidents that we're sharing together about the Prophet ﷺ and from the Quran and Sunnah should inspire us to be more committed to the salah, to love the salah more, to take this more serious. Ibn Abbas said, Innabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because my father asked me to ask him something. So I came at the end of Asr and he was sitting with his companions. And my father said, talk to him privately. So I waited until Maghrib came. I said, okay, now after Maghrib, he will have time. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa prayed Maghrib. After Maghrib, I was going to approach him, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa walked to the side after he finished Salah. And he finishes adhkar and he stopped praying. Qala fasalla, fasalla, masha'al. Start praying once, two rak'ah, until Isha came. I said, okay, I will wait. The Prophet ﷺ prayed Isha. I said, now I'll talk to him. After Isha, Nabi ﷺ, after finishing his adhkar, he walked, yani moved to the side. Fasalla arba rak'at. He prayed four rak'ah. They were so long that by the time he finished his four rak'ah, everybody in the masjid left. I was the only one left in the masjid. It was very long. Then I came to the Prophet and said, my father sent me to talk to you about something. Ibn Abbas never told, obviously, what his father wants from the Prophet because it's a private. But then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Ibn Abbas, I'm spending the night at your khala, your aunt Maymuna. Would you like to come spend the night with me and her? Ibn Abbas said, absolutely. He said, I went with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I found only one pillow. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sleeping this side. And let's say this is the pillow like this. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from this side. And his wife from this side. And I from that side of the pillow here. Like this. So it's like this now. He said, I acted as if I'm sleeping. And I told my khala, please wake me up if the Prophet wake up. I want to see him praying in the night. Said, I acted like as I'm sleeping, and I'm not, and I'm watching the Prophet. Ibn Abbas is 8 years old, just to keep things in perspective. Around that age. Then he said, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, shortly after he slept, he went to bed, he woke up, he made wudu, then he stopped praying. And I was watching. He prayed. Then after that, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wake me up. He said, would you like to pray? He said, I started yawning as if I just woke up. But actually the whole night I was watching him and listening to his recitation. And I prayed with him long prayer. And sometimes the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will touch his ear just to wake him up. Then before Fajr, he took a short nap. Then Bilal came, wake him up for Salat al-Fajr. Then he took me with him to Fajr prayer. My brothers, my sisters, from Maghrib until Fajr, that's just one incident, one night, from Maghrib until Fajr, most of that time was occupied with Salah. That was just because of his love for the Salah, his care for the Salah. And one of the most amazing things I ever come across, what Ibn Hibban reported, that Ata, said me and Ubayd ibn Umair went to Aisha radiallahu anha. So ibn Umair said, ya Aisha, tell us the most, يعني أعجب شيء رأيتيه من صلاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. What one of the night كذا, tell us about the most amazing thing that you ever witnessed in regard to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prayer in the night. Tell us about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prayer in the night. She says, رضي الله عنها وأرضاها, who among you can be like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? Who among you can be like him? وأيكم يعني who can be make prayer like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وأيكم يطيق ما كان يطيق رسول الله. Then she paused for a second as if she's trying to remember كده one of the special nights. Then she said, one night the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the night left my bed. Then I said, يا رسول الله, I'd love you to be next to me. She kind of put her hand on him. She said, ya Rasulullah, I love to be next to you. أحب قربك. I love you to be next to me. Then he said, ya Aisha, دريني أتعبد ربي. لا إله إلا الله. Ya Aisha, let me worship my Lord. He loves her, but he loves Allah more. He wants to be near her. But he knows when he prays, he's so near to Allah. Then she said, a smart wife. She said, ya Rasul, Allah knows that I love to be next to you and I love for you to be next to me. But also I love what you love. I love what makes you happy. He left the bed, he made wudu, then he prayed. تقول عائشة, and I watching him. He prayed a long prayer most of the night. And he was crying, صلى الله عليه وسلم. Until his tears have made not only his clothes wet, even the sand between his feet and where he makes sujood, where you can see the tears on the ground. His tears were running through his long beard, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until Bilal came to wake him up for the salah. When Bilal came and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in tears crying, Bilal couldn't hold himself. He just sat down and started crying. And he said, ya Rasulullah, what makes you cry? You're the one who Allah forgive his sins. What in the past and what might be in the future. She said, I know, but I should have, don't you think I should have been grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ya Bilal, I received tonight verses from the Quran. And that would turn the Prophet sallam, yani, made him in tears, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I received tonight verses that wail, yani a great punishment for those who read it and will not reflect upon them, will not think about these verses, will not yatafakkar, contemplate on these verses, which are the verses at the end of Surah Al-Imran, 190 all the way to the end. Where in the beginning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا فقنا عذاب النار. All the way to the end. نعم. النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم order not his companion but the children of his companion to pray, our children to care for salah. As Allah said, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Order your family to establish salah. He taught us to make dua, مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي, that me and my children offer salah. He said, order your children to pray at the age of 7. And even punish them at the age of 10 if they don't. Ibn Mas'ud said, حَافِظُوا عَلَىٰ أَبْنَائِكُمْ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. Make sure that your children pray. Ibn Umar said, you should teach your children salah. At what age? He said, when your child understands the difference between right and left. If he can tell which right hand, left hand is, at that age, he should know how to pray. يقول مطرف بن عبد الله بن الشخير, I came to Jerusalem and I saw an old man praying. And I noticed his prayer. It was late in the night. He praying. Ruku' sujood. And I said to him, you're an old man. How can you keep track of how many rak'ah did you pray? Yani, did you pray odd number or even number? And you're old. I don't know if you can keep track of all this. هل انصرفت على وتر أم شف? Then the old man, so old. He said to him, I really don't care to remember, because there is someone else remembering. There is someone else documenting it. He said, what do you mean? He said, every time you make sajda lillah, Allah elevate your one level in Jannah. Raise your level one step higher. And one hasana. Or Allah give you one reward. Or Allah give you both. Then Mutarraf was pleased by this answer. Then Mutarraf asked, who's this person is? And he was told that was the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ companion, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. Abu Darda, the wise man, the wisest of the Prophet ﷺ companions, Yusuf ibn Abdullah ibn Salam, the son of Abdullah ibn Salam, came to visit him, and Abu Darda was in Sham, was in his deathbed, yani about to die. Radiallahu anhu Allah. So Yusuf ibn Abdullah came to him and to visit him. And Abu Darda doesn't know this person. He never saw him before in that city, in the city or in the town. And he said, Yabna Akhi, oh cousin, what brought you to this land? What brought you to this city? What brought you to me and to here? He said, I only came to visit you. He said, visit me? He said, yes, because you used to be a good friend of my father. Who's your father? He said, Abdullah ibn Salam, radiallahu anhu. Then he said, oh, you his son? He said, yes, I'm Yusuf. Then Abu Darda, in return, want to give him a gift. What can be the best gift given? Something that you heard from the Prophet. See, now Abu Darda about to die. He would give him something that Abu Darda think of. You only think of the most valuable thing before that. Then Abu Darda told him, بِئْسَ سَاعَةُ الْكَذِبِ هَذِ. That's the worst time for you to lie. To end your life with a lie. سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ saying, I heard the Prophet saying, مَنْ تَوَضَّأَ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءِ. If you make wudu and you perfect your wudu, then you stand up and you pray 2 rak'ah. And in some narration, 4. Sahal, the narrator said, I'm not sure. He said 2 or 4 rak'ah. يُحْسِنُ فِيهَا الذِّكْرِ. He makes good adhkar. You make the adhkar perfect, correct, clear. وَالْخُشُوعِ. Have his khushu' in the salah. Then make istighfar. Ask Allah for forgiveness after that, unless Allah will forgive his sins. Ubay ibn Ka'b said, there used to be a man during the Prophet ﷺ time. I don't think of any companion lived farther away from the Masjid than this man. Yet he never missed Salah. He was asked, why don't you buy for yourself a mule or a donkey so you can ride to come to the Masjid? Because sometimes when it rains or it is in dark in the night, it's not safe, or it is very hot and there's no shoes, most of them barefoot. He said, I wouldn't even like to have my house next to the Masjid. I love where my house is, far. Why? He said, because I want Allah to reward me for every step that I take from my home to the Masjid and for every step that I take from the Masjid back to my house. Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah give you the reward of every step that you take to the Masjid, going and coming back. When the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard him saying that, he said, Jama Allahu laka dhalika kulli. Allah give you both, reported by Muslim. Salaf, their care for Salah, amazing. These ahadith inspired them. These narrations have moved them, but not just a temporary. Sa'id ibn Musayyib said, for 30 years, the adhan was never called unless I was in the masjid. Rabi'at ibn Yazid said, every time the adhan was called for Fajr, for the last 40 years, I was in the masjid when the adhan is called, unless I'm traveling or I'm sick. Al-A'mash was 70 years old, and he never missed the first takbirah. When the imam said, Allahu Akbar, he will be there behind the imam in his 70s. Not 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Muhammad ibn Sama'ah al-Qadhi said, for 40 years, I never missed the first takbirah, except one day I missed it. You know why? Because that the day was my mom died, and I was busy preparing her funeral. And because of that, I felt so bad that I did not pray in the masjid that day. I never missed the first takbirah, but that day I missed praying in the masjid because of his mom's funeral. Do you know what he did? He said, I felt compelled that I did not pray in the masjid that day. So I prayed 25 rak'ahs. Yani if it's مثلا dhuhr prayer, I prayed 25 four rak'ahs extra. Because in Salah Masjid multiplied to 25. I'll end my talk with three things. Two stories and one point. And I hope I can. Because they are very hard to tell. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for about 14 days, right before his death, he was so sick. He had a very high fever. Yet An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will not miss the salah in the masjid. Kana yuhada sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will bring two of the companion, Ali Talha, and he will put his hands on them. And they will drag him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and will carry him. His feet is so weak that he cannot make steps. It will be dragging. It will make two lines in the sand. Aisha said, I can see them. But yet, he put all this effort to make sure that he pray and lead prayer. On Thursday, Salat al-Maghrib, he died on Monday. So the Thursday before Monday, he prayed Maghrib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he recited in Salat al-Maghrib, Surah al-Mursalat. وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفَ. It was so beautiful. The Sahaba were like, wow. He prayed Maghrib, then he went back to that house. And the fever became more and more and more. He was so hot, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The strength of his body vanishing and disappearing. The life of his muscles and the strength that in his muscles became, his muscles became weaker and weaker, burning from inside from that high fever. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time there is no doctors. What they did, they bring water. And what high fever did to him, made him faint. And now the Adhan al-Isha came. And Bilal called for the Salat al-Isha. The Sahaba gathered in the masjid waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He just prayed Maghrib. But the Nabi sallallahu inside his room, Mughman alayhi, fainted, unconscious. And Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, trying to see what she can do to cool his body down, to bring his temperature down. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unconscious. Taqul Aisha, I'm looking at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam face. He opened his eyes, and he moved his lips. Now Aisha telling us, what did he say? The first thing he said. What the first thing that he said when he gained his conscious back? Asalla an-nas. La ilaha illallah. Asalla an-nas. Did people pray? This is the thing that worries him the most at the moment where he feels that his life is slipping away. And his breath in this dunya can be counted. His hours in this life can be counted. She said, no, not yet, Ya Rasulullah. They are waiting for you. Then he said, ضعوا لي ماء في مخبط. Bring me a container and cold water. Then he sit in it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they bring, she bring the water and she put it on him to cool his body. And the coolness of the water give him a little bit of strength. And he bring himself together to stand up, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And guess what? He fell back unconscious. Then a few minutes later, he gained his conscious back. Aisha said, and the Prophet barely moved his lips. And says, Ya Rasulullah. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Asalla an-nas. Did they pray? That's his worry. He said, Ya Rasulullah, no, they're still waiting for you. And they repeat the same thing again. And he fainted again. And he gained his conscious again. And he said, Asalla an-nas. No, Ya Rasulullah, they're waiting for you. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam realized that he can't go out. No strength. That Maghrib prayer was the last prayer he led, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, let Abu Bakr lead the prayer. And Abu Bakr led the prayer after that 17 fariḍah. 17 salah he led it, radiallahu anhu. And on Monday, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at Fajr, Abu Bakr leading the Fajr prayer, and he was reading and he was in tears. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his salah is so, his voice is so beautiful. There's so much khushu' in his salah. Words mixed with tears. يُقَطِّعُهَا بِالْبُكَى. And the Muslims line up behind. All of a sudden, my dear brothers and sisters, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put himself together on that Monday at Fajr, while the Muslim praying Fajr. And all of a sudden, that curtain that was not moved since Maghrib that day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and now on Monday, the curtain was moved. يقول أنس رضي الله عنه, there is nothing more beloved to us like that scene when we saw the Prophet coming out of his room, We thought that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came back, his health came back. It's amazing how they describe it. It said his face like the page of a mushaf. قال وجهه كأنه وجه مصحف منور. Light coming out of it. You know why mushaf? Because they love looking at the mushaf. Where is the mushaf? Because a mushaf like this, when you open a mushaf, that is so beautiful. Only people who understand the value of the Quran understand that metaphor. Only people who love to read from the mushaf understand the beauty of this metaphor. And Nabi Sallam smiled. As if Nabi Sallam sending this message to them and to us. That what pleases the Prophet Sallam the most, to see us in the salah. To see us lining up together. Praying. Not missing our salah. And the Nabi Sallam closed it. And he went back inside. And he never was seen again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the Sahaba. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam laid down his head on Aisha radiallahu anha's chest. And she see that his life slipping away a bit by a bit. His soul departing. And guess what? He was like any other prophet before he died. He was asked by the angel of death, would you like to live or to go to meet Allah? And he answered, Aisha only heard the answer. She said, "Bal ila al-Rafiq al-A'la. Bal ila al-Rafiq al-A'la. I choose to be in the company of the Most High." Khalas. He's leaving this life. He's leaving this dunya. And now Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, she's describing this last, most important moment of his life, which is the last few seconds of his life. What would he say? What would he tell us? What's the thing that's in the Prophet's mind at that moment, the moment of death? What occupied his mind? And Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, before he lost his last breath, قبل أن تتفلت أنفاسه, before he run out of breath, run out of time, he says, Allah, Allah, as-salata, as-salata, wa malakat aymanukum. As-salata, as-salata, wa malakat aymanukum. As-salata, as-salata. He kept repeating it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, as-salata, as-salata. Yani, I ask you to care for the salah. I remind you of the rights of the salah. As-salata, as-salata, take care of it. Establish it. What do you think? I know I run out of time. But if you allowed me, just to give you another reflection of this story, how this story have shaped somebody else's life. Umar radiallahu anhu at Salat al-Fajr, after he lined the musallin and he stand up, Umar kan kasariya fil masjid. They said he like a pillar, one of the pillar of the masjid. Yani so tall, so big, distinguished. Line up in the mihrab. And all of a sudden, and that was Wednesday, and he had one garment, izabas, one garment, yellowish. It was covering from here all the way to middle of his feet, his legs, covering his aura and his, all the way to like beneath his knees. That's it, nothing else. That's the Khalifa. And reading, as usual, this beautiful recitation. And all of a sudden, this from a dark spot in front of him, a man came, was hiding with a dagger that has double edge, like from both sides. And he stabbed Umar radiallahu anhu arba'ah. in the lower part of his abdominal area. And he stabbed him underneath his, he basically cut him, his guts, from underneath his belly button and in his abdominal area. And he stabbed and he pulled. Then he ran. And with this sword, he started hitting people left and right. Killed several companions, injured several. Until one of the Sahaba, or the kana عنده burnus. The burnus, yeah, have you seen the Moroccan cloth that has like a hoodie type of, it's a long one? So he took that hoodie, the head, and he put it in his face, he covered his face with it, and he wrapped him with it. Then this man who stabbed Umar realized that he's going to die, so he stabbed himself and he killed himself. Umar fell down. Like a big, this big man, and he's really big, and I don't mean that only literally, but metaphorically as well. On the ground, Abdurrahman bin Auf stepped up, finished the salah. And Umar was carried to the house, carried by people, by his companions. And among the people who carried him, Abbas, and he narrating the story. There is no ambulance, there's no doctors, there is no stitches. There is only the imamah, they took the turban and some garment and they took it and they tied the wound with it. And Umar was unconscious. He brought to his house, حتى أسفر جدا, right before the sunrise, Umar gained conscious again. Umar looked from outside and he see the light. Then he looked at Ibn Abbas and his son Abdullah. And Ibn Abbas documenting everything as if it is, you know, as if it's a camera. He not only telling us what he said, he even describing what he was doing, how his face looks like. Then he said his lips moved. And the first thing he said, you guess it. Asalla an-nas. La ilaha illallah. It's the same word the Prophet ﷺ said. Did people pray? But the answer was different. They said, yeah, Umar, yes. Abdurrahman Auf finished the prayer. Then he said, yeah, Abdullah, his son, hold me. Help me so I can pray. Abdullah ibn Umar picked him up. They brought water for him to make wudu. And he's bleeding. Abdullah ibn Umar said, I took my hand and I put it on his cut where he was cut. Got it. يقول عبد الله بن عمر, my four fingers went inside the wound, inside his gut. That's how big the cut is. Then he said, face me the Qibla. I need to pray before the sunrise. And he said the famous statement, لا حظ في الإسلام لمن ترك الصلاة. There is no chance for someone to claim Islam if that person doesn't pray. And he prayed his fajr, and he died later on, radiallahu anhu wa arba. That's what the main concern of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the main concern of the Sahaba, Umar upon death, as-salat. How come salam doesn't mean much to us? I want you every time when the alarm goes off and you want to sleep more, remember Umar. Remember Abu Bakr. Remember Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What salam meant to them at the most critical moment. If there is any excuse for someone to miss the salah at that time, it will be the excuse of the pain of the death, the sickness that led to death. Yet they didn't. It didn't make them forget about the salah. If you ever forget how important the salah is, remember that the Nabi was not thinking at the moment of his death about anything related to the ummah more important than as-salat. Sometimes I feel shame. When I delay my prayer, when I miss my prayer, when I stand in my prayer and I'm there, but I'm not there. I didn't choose what time to pray. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who created the mountains and the rivers, the one who made you and made everything, the most beautiful, the greatest, the most merciful, the Allah, the Almighty, the one who blessed you with all these blessings and bestowed his bounty upon you. He's the one who chose the time. He's the one, he wants you to stand before him. He's the one who wants to meet you. He's the one who requested the meeting. He's the one who set up the meeting. Where and when and how. Yet, he's waiting for me, and I'm distracted. I'm busy. Answering the call for this meeting is in the last thing in my priorities. He's asking me, and I'm nothing. What am I? Who you are? What's your size? What's your value? Comparing to all these beautiful, great things that you have created. Yet he wants you to come so he can meet you. What's more important than him? All these silly things that get us distracted from our salah. All these silly, stupid things that it basically occupied our mind. And guess what? He wants only to meet me for a few minutes. It's not like hours. It's a few minutes. And I drag my feet. And I get distracted. And I keep delaying. And I come late. And I come tired. And I come as if I'm forced to it. Allah want a private session. It is really private, you and him alone. Yet I bring with me everything else. I bring with me to the meeting in my mind and my heart, every silly things in this world. Instead of me focusing on him, as he focusing on me and giving me his attention and responding to my salah. When you say, Alhamdulillah, hamadani abdi, he responds to each one of you. But what? Your body is there, but your mind and your soul and your thoughts are everywhere. You know why he wants me to be away from this dunya for these few minutes? So I can rest. So I can have a break. But yet, I prefer the noise over the calmness. I prefer to talk to other than him than to speak to him. I prefer to complain to the people who have no power, no abilities, no control over talking to him, the most powerful, the most capable, the one who doesn't need my ibadah. He doesn't need to meet me. He doesn't need my salah. Yet, he wants it. He loves it when I come. Yet, I'm there, but I'm not there. I come as if I'm forced to it. I'm lazy about it. This is something that has to change. Your attitude and our attitude to salah has to change. I hope our session today will help us to go back to basics and to fix them. And the most important basics is a salat, because it's the main pillar. It's the foundation that you build on it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among muqeem as-salat wa min dhurriyyatina. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who love salah and enjoy salah. And I'm sorry if I made this longer than what I intended to be. But I hope these words benefit me and benefit you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. And I thank Hafsa and Al-Nahr team for putting this together. And for all of you who are listening to me tonight, today and tonight, wherever you are, for your participation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these 10 days of the Hijjah blessed days and make us among those who will do goodness on those 10 days and help us to commit to them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our good deeds. And I encourage you to care for your salat in these 10 days, because the salat in these 10 days is better than any salat outside these 10 days. And encourage you to also support your brother and sister in al-Maghrib and give them, donate to them, and also your family members who will need. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani, and fast the day of Arafah, and inshallah, happy, very happy Eid to all of you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
Jazakum Allah khair, Sheikh Waleed. There are no words that can summarize, subhanAllah, the intensity of that session. Although I have to be the one that's messaging you, that's telling you about the time and reminding, that's unfortunately the casualty of my job, but subhanAllah, I wish that session didn't have to end. There are sessions where you get inspired and alhamdulillah, it's uplifting, and then there's sessions that are life-changing, that it's really hard to go back and to go into your next salah and think and not have your complete perspective change. We've just recently had mindfulness of salah in Toronto with Sheikh Amma Shukri. We just had Divine Link online with Sheikh Abu Isa. And subhanAllah, there's something that you bring to the table, Sheikh, the way that you speak, the way that you get us in the moment and make us reflect and humble us. It's just incomparable. Jazakum Allah khair for being with us for the Hijjah 360 and for blessing us with this session. I know there were some questions that were shared earlier. Just to be respectful of the little bit of time that that we've gone over, I do want to make sure that we continue to close the session, inshallah, and we'll try to see if we can answer those questions in the future. Yes, Raghad says it's all different flavors. Alhamdulillah, that's the honor and the blessing of the Maghrib Shuyukh, is that they all bring something so beautiful to the experience. So Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for the reminder. As the Sheikh said, please do support Maghrib as well through the Hijjah 360 and be part of these efforts to continue to change people's lives and benefit them when it comes to their deen. You can support us at almaghrib.org/donate and also support Forgotten Women, our amazing charity sponsors who have made this experience possible, at logica.com/FW. Sheikh, Jazakallah khair for being with us, an easy and early Eid Mubarak to you as well and your family. And inshallah, we look forward to seeing you soon online in our sessions and in person as well, inshallah ta'ala, through your touring of Al-Maghrib on-site seminars. Inshallah, we'll see you guys all very soon. For now, take care, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. Jazakallah khair for being with us for day number 3 of the Hijjah 360. Please join us for day number 4 with Usada Zaymiya Zubair. And we'll see you soon. Assalamu alaikum.